Chapter 8, Saved from Fire. Father Geilhan writes, "My parents sent me to a well-known seminary to finish my studies. I had just entered philosophy. On the Feast of the Assumption, 1811, when I was invested with the scapular, the ceremony did not take place until the evening. The various exercises of the house prevented me from reciting certain prayers which the confraternity were in the habit of saying through devotion every day. The hour of retiring came. I did not remember the omission until I had already laid down and was about to extinguish a candle, which, through a sort of timidity, I had left burning up to that time. I then placed it near my pillow without a thought of the possible consequences and proceeded to recite the forgotten prayers. It was about 9 o'clock when I finished and fell fast asleep, and almost 10 when I awoke. My first thought was of the taper so thoughtlessly left burning, and I sat up in an instant only to find myself in the midst of fire and smoke. The taper laid fallen over and set the pillow on fire. The mattress was burned, the headboard was charged and blackened, the room was so full of smoke that as soon as I opened the door to call for aid, the corridor was filled. As to myself, I was not injured in the least. Not a hair on my head was burned. The physician was astonished the next day when he saw the traces of the conflagration in my room, that I had escaped so thoroughly. He said that one would think if I had been spared by the fire, the thick smoke would have suffocated me. I cannot think with calmness upon that night. What a tragedy might not have been the result. I attribute my wonderful preservation entirely to Our Lady of the Scapular, that dear mother who vouchsafed to protect me, doubtless for the prayers in her honor which I was reciting at the very moment when slumber closed my eyes. On November 21st, the breaking out of a fire threatened the absolute destruction of Dompnach, a small town in Vivarius. The wind was high, the night cold, for it was below zero and intensely dark. Everyone was in his home, most of the citizens asleep, and the only sound which disturbed the silence was the varied cadence of the wind as it brushed along. Now it would howl and shriek, as if a midnight demon rode the storm, then faintly moan as if lamenting the danger soon to come. Suddenly, the alarm bell sounded, and the terrible cry, "Fire!" rang out and brought despair to every heart. The storehouse of a wealthy merchant was in flames. In it were stored 5,000 bushels of flour, straw, and other inflammable materials. In a few moments the entire population appeared upon the scene. All were eager to assist. This impulse was so general that men came from a great distance when they heard the alarm bell. Water was carried, but the fire had gained such headway, having reached the lay in the straw, that all hope of saving the town seemed at an end. The heavy slate roof, loosened by the heat, now swayed, and a new danger was to be apprehended. The adjacent buildings filled at the season of the year with chestnuts, drawing upon large tables, awaited a speedy destruction. The flames had already caught the doors of a large granary, and desolation seized the anxious crowd. What was to be done? Suddenly a young girl, Anne Renaud, a fervent member of the Solidarity, moved by a happy inspiration, cried out that if a scapular of Our Lady were thrown into the fire, it would quench the flames. She took off her own and handed it to one of the men, who, unable to throw it directly on account of the high wind, rolled it around a stone and with unerring aim sent it into the blazing mass. At that instant the fury of the fire abated, and it seemed as if many gallons of water had been poured into the seething pit. True, it was not entirely extinguished, but it went no further. The door of the granary above mentioned was charred, but nothing more. At this single mark of Mary's protecting power, hope sprang up in every heart, but the most remarkable fact was yet unknown. At dawn, the town awoke to remember that it was the Feast of the Presentation, and to renew their thanks to Mary. Willing hands were ready to remove the debris of the fire, which was smoldering still. What was their astonishment was to find the scapular amid hot coals and stones, of which the heat was so great that they could not touch them. Detached from the stone around which it had been twined, without a sign of the fiery ordeal through which it had passed the night before. The picture of the Blessed Virgin was perfect. Even the strings had been preserved. The scapular was placed at the feet of the Queen of Carmel in the chapel dedicated to her honor, where it can be seen by the faithful who daily come to pray at her shrine and find therein a new motive for confidence in Our Lady of the Scapular. We find the same miraculous occurrence in several places. For instance, in 1599, June 15th, in Salerno, Italy, in the ancient kingdom of Naples. Fire broke out in the house of a baker, Jean Savent, from his heated oven, which he was at that very moment preparing to use. Terrified at the thought of the misfortune about to overwhelm them, his wife Beatrice, full of confidence in the Mother of God, threw her scapular into the flames with the fervent invocation, "O Lady of Mount Carmel, save us!" At that moment the fire was quenched, and the scapular, though it remained 4 hours in the heated oven, was not even scorched. The Abbey of Get of Toulon was favored in the same special manner. It occurred in 1639. A scapular was cast into a fire which threatened destruction to the building, and the flames were extinguished at once. The convent of Mont-de-Piété at Charité-sur-Loire, also in 1639, was preserved from fire in the same wonderful manner. At Angers, in 1644, a pastry cook beheld with dismay the impending loss of his earthly store, but the Queen of Carmel, through the efficacy of her favorite garment, came to the rescue, to the gratitude and joy of the poor man. In the same year in the Isle of St. Aubin, Pont de Gay, a merchant named Chabot testified to a similar preservation from fire. The Gazette of Paris publishes these two miracles in detail. In 1648 we learn of the official attestation of the two nobles, Count de Belay and Baron de Soche, his son, that the Chateau de Ragon was most wonderfully saved from the destruction of fire through the efficacy of the scapular. The holy badge was cast into the flames, and the danger averted at once. In all these instances, the scapular came out intact from the fire. Innumerable examples of the same miracle come from every point. In the Diocese of Rennes, adds the indisputable testimony of a remarkable preservation from fire in 1564, a stable in the village near Tail, some diocese, took fire, and great fears of the safety of the entire village were entertained. When the scapular was thrown into the flames, they sank down, and soon the blazing pile was dim and dark. Two men who slept on in the midst of fire and smoke escaped uninjured, and the scapular was not burned, or even singed, although the heat was very great. In 1684 at Paris, a fire occurred which attained such vast proportions that from the jeweler's establishment where it originated, it threatened destruction to that entire quarter of the city. When the relentless flames seemed about to engulf a beautiful church, St. Gervais, in their deep abyss, a solitary thought seized one of the beholders to throw his scapular therein. The conflagration ceased at that moment, and later on when the scapular was recovered, although it was found upon red-hot coals, not a sign of the fire was to be seen. My friends, God always speaks of supernatural truths through these natural miracles. It is very obvious to us, if Our Lady of the Brown Scapular can save us from the earthly fire, surely she can save us from the unquenchable fires of hell. This concludes our stories of miraculous events of the Brown Scapular. We hope these testimonies of miraculous events has increased your devotion, and that the next time you find yourself in danger, surrounded by fire, attacked unexpectedly, or dying, that you will call on Our Lady of Mount Carmel to come help you. My friends, never abandon this devotion, and never take it for granted. If you treasure this most precious gift and hold it in high esteem, you will not only do good for your own soul, but silence the outrages of impious men. Like the late Cardinal Howard, who did have a great devotion to the scapular. When he was still an officer in the guards, it happened that one of his fellow officers found a scapular in the guard room and carried it to the mess hall, where he held it up to ridicule. Finally, he suspended it on the gas jet overhanging the table. Lieutenant Howard came late that evening to supper, and he entered the room and someone shouted, "Howard, here is something for you. Is it not something belonging to a papist?" "Of course," said Howard. It is something belonging to my religion, something which I reverence and esteem, for the honor of which I would be ready to draw my sword." Thereupon he drew his sword from its scabbard and held the scapular on the point. He then most devoutly kissed the scapular, afterwards placing it on his breast. None of his comrades dared to say a word. After this, Lieutenant Howard was more than ever esteemed by his fellow officers, since he was not ashamed to give expression to his religious convictions. May we too be ready to draw our swords, for the honor of God and His most blessed Mother, in this age of irreligion, and always thank and bless God for giving us the brown scapular, a shield of faith, and a sign of salvation. This has been a production of Alleluia Audiobooks. To hear more Catholic audiobooks, homilies, or spiritual conferences, please visit us at AlleluiaAudiobooks.com, or you can just Google Alleluia Audiobooks. We encourage and hope that you will make copies of this CD to hand out to your friends and family, along with brown scapulars, which we are happy to give permission for, but we do ask that you do not alter the original audio. Thank you, and God bless.